Well, it's not as good as I could have done a better job. Because this is one that was put on my heart a long ago. One of the things that strikes me about our church, and I'm going to be here a while, just come in. But if you listen to all the pastors, we talk about scripture. When we do a sermon, we go back on scripture. When we do a Sunday school lesson, it's scripture. When we do a Bible study, it's scripture. It's glory of God, the Word of God. It's important. Scripture to us is very important. So I've been wrestling with scripture. Matter of fact, this all started in a Wednesday night Bible study when somebody brought up a passage of scripture. And I had to wrestle with that scripture. And I had to think, oh, what do I believe? So I started working on scripture and had a lot of struggles last night. Now, I don't know if y'all even know about them or not. But computer problems, printer problems, just a lot of struggles. And one of the things that struck me, or one of the things that came out was, what I was fixing to say is, I'm a Baptist. The name of our church is Lord's Grove Baptist. We're a Baptist. Some people struggle with that. And I'm not trying to, you can go ahead and start the slide.
It's up there.
And one of the things about a Baptist is, I want y'all to understand, this is a big thing on Baptist. We don't believe what the Baptists say. You understand that? We believe what the scripture says, and the Baptists agree to that. In other words, I'm a Baptist not because they told me what to believe. I believe what I believe, and I'm a Baptist because of it. Because that's the closest thing I can find to my belief. First thing, that came from the Baptist General Convention. Part of the Baptist beliefs. It talks about, I can't see because I took my glasses off, but this is our relationship with Jesus Christ. It talks about, as a Baptist, we believe it's a single relationship. Us with God. Us with God. Right. We all have a relationship. We have that relationship with God. It's not through somebody else. I'm not saved because of my grandmother. I'm not saved because of my mother. They prayed. They did things for it. But my salvation rests in the fact that I have a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It doesn't rest with me having a priest that goes before God for me. Okay. You understand that?
Yes.
We believe Scripture is the perfect Word of God. Now, one of the things that got me was, last night when I was looking this up, as a kid growing up, we used the word inerrant. I never found it. That word wasn't there. Since 1970, Baptists don't use the word inerrant. I don't know why. I like the word inerrant. But they changed it to be the perfect Word of God. Without error. And number three, these three things are not all of the Baptist beliefs, but these are some of the beliefs of the Baptist. And that's worship. If you would like to see these, what do you think about worship? We're Baptist because we worship God. Or as a Baptist, I believe in this kind of worship. I went ahead and printed this off. If someone would like a copy, we'll make some copies. This is the Southern Baptist Convention belief. Okay. Baptist Hill to bring out the Southern Baptist faith message. And in it, it talks about the scripture as being the Holy Bible was written by men. Divinely inspired by God. And it is perfect.
Amen.
And the reason why I'm bringing that up perfect is when I started looking at scripture, and what I'm fixing to go in through is what she has is just a few passages I found about scripture. I can print this off for you too. But just to let you know, it's double stuff. And it talks about what scripture says about scripture. It tells you what scripture says about scripture. That the word of God says about the word of God. When Richard is preaching, when Buck is preaching, when Raphael is preaching, and they bring up scripture, or when I'm bringing up scripture. In Sunday school, when we talk about scripture, and Wednesday night when we talk about scripture, when we do Romans on Wednesday night, and we're feeding the word of God, we believe that that's perfect. And I want y'all to think about that, because as a kid growing up, I thought scripture was perfect, but I didn't understand the word perfect. Inerrant. I did not understand inerrant. When we think of scripture, we think that it means that what it says is perfect. You know, when we say we can have hope based on our scripture, we can. So I want y'all to think it all the way through.
You can hear it.
Scripture is perfect. It means what is there is what we need. What's not there, we don't, it's not. And that's the thing that I never really placed out. Is if it's not in scripture, it's not. Yeah, it's not. You know, you read a piece of scripture and your mind goes, well, why? What does that mean? How does that work? God gave you what you needed to learn in that scripture. Okay. So after saying that about scripture, I want to start off with what the scripture is saying about scripture. And I'm going to start off in Psalms. Psalms 19, 7 through 11. Am I not loud enough? I'm not coming out over here. Okay. Well, I just talked louder. The instruction of the Lord is perfect, renewing one's life. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy, making the inexperienced wise. The precepts of the Lord are right, making the heart glad. The command of the Lord is radiant, making the eyes light up. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are reliable and altogether righteous. They are more desirable than gold and sweeter than honeycomb, which comes from the honeycomb. In addition, your servant is warned by them. There are great rewards in keeping it. By the way, if y'all was trying to figure out where I was going with this, the name of my servant was Honeycomb. Honeycomb. The word of the Lord is like a sweeter than honey, taken from a honeycomb. Now you get where it comes from. And one of the things that got me is I had the name of the sermon Honeycomb up at the top, and then I'm talking about the Baptist. It seemed like it was a deviation. The instruction of the Lord is perfect.
Yeah.
What we get from the Lord is perfect. One of the items about the perfection of Scripture is I get what I need. My son. Don't give me the same. But if you try real hard, stop. You get what you need. When we're in the Bible and we're looking at Scripture, okay, I told Steph I wasn't going to tell this guy. Put four Baptists in a room and you get five. Used to be interpretation, now it's application. In other words, when we read Scripture, the place we're at in the Lord is how the Scripture will apply to us. If I take a piece of Scripture and break it down and tell Richard what it means and how he should live his life, I'm doing him a disservice. Because where he's at in his life, he made a different application. Now I can break down Scripture for you up here on a Sunday and give you some applications. And you can weigh those applications and see if what I'm saying is true or not. If I tell you, get in the Word yourself. Read what it says yourself. If what I tell you is wrong or a lie, what are you to do? Believe me? Or get back with me and say, hey, I'm not really for sure you got that right. Which one do you think you should do? The latter. If I tell you to do something wrong, that's a terrible burden for me to have. Because when you go before God and judge, you're judged for your actions, right? When I go before God and judge, I'm judged for the actions of others. And after saying that, I also believe I have an advocate. Y'all know what I mean by that?
Yes.
Something truthful about what? Scripture tells me I have an advocate. Scripture tells me I have someone that will present my case to God. And the worst part about it, the part I can't understand, the part that I'm still struggling with the most, I've been telling him. And I was. That's not what I struggle with. I struggle with the promise that somebody's paid it off for me already. It has not been pardoned. I've not been found not guilty. But my punishment has been paid. That is what I struggle with. I digress again. When he was rejected by God, he was rejected by God because he loved me so much that he took my sin. I don't understand how he did that. His love is so pure and so bright, he did that. Psalms 119, 105. I have not turned from your judgment, for you yourself have instructed me. How sweet your word is to my taste, sweeter than honey in my mouth. I gained understanding from your precepts, therefore I am ever false. Promise to me, Lord. If we can live that, then His work is pretty hard. All Scripture is inspired by God. Second Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that man, our God, may be complete. Our man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. One of the questions that might come up is, how do we use scripture? Scripture is for training, teaching, rebuking, correcting. When we give a sermon, when we study the Bible, what we're looking at, what we're going through, is perfection, is sanctification, is making us. How many of y'all know the skit guys? Y'all don't know the skit guys. Someday we'll show the skit. The skit guys have a skit in which one guy is got all his sin on him. And God is there with a hammer and a chisel. Y'all remember that one? And he's knocking off. And some of it, guy, when he takes off, God's like, oh, okay. And some of it, when he takes it off, he's like, oh, I didn't want to eat that. Y'all know this kid I'm talking about? That's true. That skit shows you what happened. It's God working on us. The hammer and chisel is the scripture. As we're in that scripture, as we're in scripture, God knocks off our skin. I am not the person I used to be. God has changed me. I tell people that I don't like people. I don't. I tell people, I'm having a hard time. Because so much of me is being changed by God. And that's a hallelujah. I used to be a person that hated people. And I may still be, I don't know. And the reason I don't know is who's in my heart? Christ is in me. And Christ loves people. Christ loves us. I myself am freaked out by us. It gives me an old term called the willies. I do not like us. And if you would stand up, you'd understand why it's called the willies. But Christ is in you. Christ loves hugs. Christ drags me into hugs. I now love hugs. One of the things that I'm still working on is what Richard said. He talked about we were prisoners and our cells had been opened. And we need to walk out. I'm still walking in. I'm still struggling with that. But it's scripture. I can go back to scripture. I can go back on the promises I received. Romans 15:4. For whatever was written in the past was written for our instruction, so that we may have, what's that?
Hope.
Through endurance and through the encouragement from scripture. What did I say about scripture? It's perfect. One of the perfect things about it is it gives me what I need. Just that. What I need.
I know what Maslow's laws are, right? You know that? What I need.
need food, you need water, you need air, you need shelter. You need. There are certain needs you need. You need to be able to hear after I'm speaking. But you have certain needs. Love is one of them now. Even the secular world acknowledges love is a need. Okay, after saying that one thing I need, Jesus. One thing I can count on is truth. And my need is met through truth.
Amen.
Because it gives me the hope.
Amen.
Endurance and encouragement. Yes. Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Christmas gives us faith. Psalms 119:105. God, ready for this? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Scripture can be a guide and keep you on the straight and narrow. Scripture can be a guide for how you live your life. Because it says it's to be a lamp. Thou shalt not commit murder. That's a good guide. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me yet, but it shall accomplish that which I propose, and it shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Why do you think I picked that scripture? We've got three full passages in here right now. When we get up here on a Sunday, when somebody does Sunday school, even when somebody's singing in the Word, we're looking at that as the Word of God doing it. I'm a teacher. When I'm in class and I'm teaching, how many times do I feel like I'm just up there wasting oxygen? Sometimes I feel like telling my students, y'all just sit there and play with your phones because I don't want to waste any more oxygen. Because I know that's what you're going to do, is sit there and play with your phones. As a pastor, when I have God speak through me, or when God speaks through me, when I allow myself to be used for His work, how much more do you think it hurts when I think it is? That's when one of the things that pastors could have a long time. Because if we get to where we feel we're infected, that's tough. There was one point in my life while I was pastor at this church where I felt like I was infected. I felt like I was up there talking and nobody was listening. I felt like, I don't know how to say it. I struggled with depression sometimes, I think. I struggled with depression. And to be honest, my daughter had borrowed a tool from me. And I forgot that. And I searched for that tool. And it didn't work out. I couldn't find it. But after that, God sent one to me. And it showed me that His Word so shall not the word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to the end. But it shall accomplish that which I propose, and shall succeed in the thing which I say. God's word does not go out of you. And it does not return to you. We may not see it, but it does not go in. And sometimes, we have to stand on Scripture. And He will deliver His hope. And you get to see it work. Okay. I like this one too. Jeremiah 23:49. It is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. Y'all are looking at a rock that's been broken by the Word of God. If I could open my chest and show you where I used to have a stone, He found that stone in the ground. He broke the rock. I had a rock for a heart. He pounded that rock until it's gone. And I think God does this too because He's a funny guy. I was reading verses last night. I was trying to work this. It's about 24. Okay.
He's got 24.
I thought
you can get it. You know, my deal is, what's the version of the Bible that works?
The one that reads.
See, everybody knows my job.
Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season?
Okay. I'm excited.
Say that.
Okay. Who then is a faithful and wise servant?
Way ahead of you.
Oh, that was the one that that Matthew used. His word will endure forever. Though the earth will fade away, His word will endure forever. Because that's what His word is. His word will endure forever. And one of the things that strikes me is how many churches out there nowadays try to change the word of the Lord? They don't understand. If you shut the door and lock the windows for the word of the Lord, can you know what's going to happen? No, it's going to come into practice. The word of the Lord is always going to come in. Are there people being saved in many churches today? Yes. And I'm going to confuse y'all. Are there people being saved in Catholic churches today? Yes. Because the word of the Lord is going to get somebody. You can't keep him out, no matter how hard you try. And his word is going to endure forever. How about this? For the word of God is living. In Matthew 24, 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. I missed it. It was 35. Hebrews 4, 12 through 14. For the word of God is living and effective. It's sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of soul, spirit, joints, and marrow. It is able to purge the ideals and the thoughts, or judge the ideals and the thoughts of the heart. No creature is hidden from him, but all things are naked and exposed to the eyes of him, to whom we must give our attention. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast. And Joshua 1:8, the book of the law shall not depart from my mouth. This is my statement. But you shall meditate on it day and night. The book of the law shall not depart from my mouth. But I shall meditate on it day and night, so that I may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then I will make my way prosper, and that I will have good success. Yeah. Well, by the way, just let you know, God made the platypus. God made the platypus. You tell me what it is for me. I think that's funny. God doesn't understand. That's funny. My nose, but I have a lot of that. It happens. No coincidence. I have a personal relationship with God, and He works on me daily. Hours. Now, one of the things we're going to do right now is we're going to do the Lord's Supper. I get Richard to come up. I get Raphael about to come up. We do this in remembrance.
That's exactly what I'm doing.